Y'all quiet. Y'all are subdued this morning. I know it's October and we got a lot of folks that are traveling this weekend, as we probably will every weekend throughout this month. October falls turning into a big time of people getting away and getting out of town. It's actually my favorite time of year, and so I enjoy being out and doing things on little mini trips and all of that. So I know we've got a lot of folks out, but I'm glad you're here. We've come in today, and today we're having a baby dedication today, and so we want to address that in just a moment and look at that, and hopefully Eden will be good for us and be calm and peaceful and all of that. I want to, as I was studying and preparing, and I've done lots and lots and lots of baby dedications and weddings and funerals through the years, and it's funny, as I get older and I walk in this thing longer, how I see things from a different perspective, and my view begin to change on things and all. Not necessarily from a doctrinal standpoint, although that changes as well, but from a, I feel like, an understanding perspective. I can go through my Bible and it's full of notes and all of these things, but then there's some places in it where this got marked out, and you're like, I don't know, and then you write some new notes and all, because God shows you things, I think, at a deeper level and all. And in looking at baby dedications and all the ones that we've done through the years, I think the church really misses it on the baby dedications. I don't think that if we grasp the full impact of the baby dedications, not nearly as many people would do them as they do. If you look in the Bible on baby dedication, basically you're coming in and you're saying, and I see three examples in the Word. There are three baby dedications that I see in the Bible. I see, of course, Hannah coming in with Samuel and her dedicating Samuel to the Lord. I see John the Baptist being dedicated by Zechariah and Elizabeth, and this is almost a God thing. Said, "This is, dude, this is what you're going to do." And it wasn't so much, "Ooh, this is in my heart." It's like, "This is what you're going to do." And he said yes to it. And then the third baby dedication, I've never really thought about this until last night as I was really spending time and meditating on it and everything. The third baby dedication I see is Jesus, because I see Father God dedicating Jesus. And as you look and you study baby dedication and what it really is, they're coming in and they're saying, "Lord, I give this child to you. I give this child to you." And our, I think our misidentifying and all, when we come in with the baby dedications in the American church today, what most parents are saying, they're coming in and they're saying that we are going to raise this child in some semblance of a Christian home, and we're going to take it to church when it's convenient. And that's our dedication to the Lord. I bet the Lord gets real excited about that. Say, "Whoa, boy, that just tipped the scales. That was the tipping point I've been waiting for," right? But if in reality, that's what it is. Because I see people that are not in church and they want to dedicate their baby to the Lord. And I'm like, "Really? You ain't even dedicated? How can you dedicate something you ain't even first dedicated yourself to?" Amen. Come on, somebody. And usually it never works out. And I see people coming in and with marginal Christianity and a life of God, I don't know, man. I could really get on a stump right here. But I think we really don't see what dedicating a baby is, the biblical sense and the patterns that I see in the Bible, what it's all about. And so this morning I want to talk about that. And Brett and Lilia have come and they want to dedicate Eden. And I hope and pray then that it's not that we're coming because this is the right thing to do. You know, all our kids are dedicated to the Lord and all that stuff. But it's got to be something that's birthed out of something in here where it's like, "God, this is yours. This is, in reality, you know what? God allowed me to be a steward in their life, but they are not mine. They're not. Biologically, they're my DNA, but spiritual DNA trumps biological DNA every time. Spiritual DNA trumps biological DNA every time. And in reality, they're not mine. You know, we come in and it's like, you know, we prayed them into to Rockmart Road, you know, the living next to us and all that. Lori always says, man, we prayed them in and all that. But in reality, God's the one that planted them there. In reality, God's the one that put it in their heart that they want to be there, and they want to be among you in this company of believers, and they want to raise their family and their life in this movement of what God's doing and everything. So when it all comes down to it, they're not mine, they're not Lori's, they're the Lord's. They're the Lord's. And one issue I've had being a type A control freak in my life, and I know you'd be surprised that that's my nature, Will, but it really is trying to take the handles off stuff and say, God, this is yours. It's a real big challenge in my life, but that's one thing that as I get older, the Lord's teaching me more and more and more that none of this, so much of this is out of your control. And what I long for is a bride that comes in a relationship with me, and as I study this and I look in these three dedications, and I want to talk about each of them briefly as Brett and Aaliyah come with Eden, and we want to just present her to the Lord this morning. And I believe that's their heart, that they want to present her to the Lord and say, Lord, this is, you know, they're great parents, but they're not qualified to raise a child. Amen. Lori and I did our best to be great parents. We're not qualified to, I wasn't even qualified to be a husband, much less a father, when it comes in and having it all together. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know anybody that's got it get together enough to where I can say, in this physical, natural thing, I can entrust a child's life to them, and y'all get it right enough that they're not only functional, but that they are perform everything and be everything they're supposed to be. And so the best thing that we can do is just come in and say, God, they're yours, and you teach me how, and you show me how. And so we're going to do that. We're going to give this child to the Lord. They're going to present this child to the Lord today. We're going to anoint her. We're going to pray over her. But I want to lay a little bit of groundwork before we do that this morning. And this is going to be the thrust of today. I'm not going to be long today. I do want to share a word with you as I was studying this that I feel like is very, very, it's been just leaping in my spirit all night and this morning. And I want to share that. And release that into the body, and I think that'll go into with how we come in and we properly raise a child and how we properly give a child to the Lord. So you guys really listen to this word as well. In studying this and looking at the dedication of John the Baptist, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were his parents, and we see this over in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm not going to turn there because it's over the course of about three chapters, and we'll get into some expository teaching perhaps Wednesday night. But y'all remember the story that Zechariah and Elizabeth were older, and that they were both of Levitical priesthood lines, and they ministered to the Lord. They were in ministry. That was their job, man. That's what they were born into. And so they come in, and they're older. They've been praying for children for years. Elizabeth is barren, much like Abraham and Sarah. And Zechariah's going into the temple, and he's doing his temple stuff. You know, he's burning incense, and he's doing his different things. The Word said he was ministering to the Lord. One thing that we get messed up on and jacked up on is we always think we're coming in and we're ministering to people. We're not. We're ministering to the Lord, and sometimes that looks like feeding the hungry. Sometimes that looks like sharing the gospel. Sometimes it looks like helping somebody with this or praying with somebody. But never forget that we're coming in and we are minute. We see it with Samuel. It said that Samuel ministered to the Lord. He didn't come in and say he ministered in the temple to all the people and all of that stuff, but he ministered to the Lord. Caroline corrected Sheila a couple of weeks ago. Sheila said something about, well, your poppy's a pastor. And Caroline, with her two-year-old wisdom, she said, my poppy's not a pastor. He's a minister. And she got it right. I don't know where she got all that from the vocabulary of a two-year-old. And yeah, I'll holler at you in a minute, Brett. The vocabulary of a two-year-old. But she said, my poppy is a minister. But my ministry is not first and foremost to you guys. My ministry is to him. And when I properly minister to him, then the residual effect of that is going to be a washover, a spillage over into your lives. All right? You better hope that I minister to him properly, because if I don't, I ain't going to have nothing good to release into y'all. It's going to be in my flesh and my ability to study and my ability to develop sermons and all of that stuff. But it is we minister to Him. So we see Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they're ministering to the Lord. Or Zechariah's in the temple ministering to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord comes to him. Gabriel comes to him. And Gabriel said, hey man, your wife's going to conceive, and she's going to bring forth a son, and he's going to be mighty before the Lord, and he's going to announce the coming of the Messiah. And he's laying all of this stuff on him. And Zechariah's sitting there, and he's saying, dude, how can this be? You hadn't checked out my wife, but she's like really old. I'm old, but she's really old, way past birthing years. And so he's like saying, in the natural, this ain't going to happen. And he's doubting what Gabriel's telling him. And so you know how Gabriel qualifies this? Gabriel comes in and qualifies this, and he says, dude, I am the one that stands in the presence of God. So I've come to share this with you. And the Lord began to speak to me on this, Brother Brett, and I think this is huge. How many of you come and we say, man, I just want to hear a word from the Lord? Sometimes we get frustrated because we say, I haven't heard from the Lord in such a long time. And what we're saying is, I am not hearing God speak something to me. I'm not hearing God give me a word. And our approach to Him has to be a thing where I just want to get in His proximity so I hear what He says. It may not be to me, but I want to hear what He says. I want to hear what He says about her. I want to see what He hears about her. Here's the thing. Aaliyah and Brett need to hear what God is saying about Eden. Their proximity will determine that. And it doesn't have to be, God, give me a specific voice of direction, because in reality, you know who God's going to give that voice of direction to? Her. But as a mother and a father in trying to help steer that and facilitate that, when I hear what God is saying to her, then I get it right on the parenting aspect. Then I get it right on the releasing aspect. Then I get it right on saying, God, this is your child aspect. The thing that right now that excites me as much as anything is where I look and I see an Isaac Crane that God's stirring and speaking in his heart to the tune of, I want to lead Bible study at Bremen High School. I keep saying Harrison County. And Bremen High, I'm not prophesying, Nick. Bremen High School, you know the word I said about him going to be a bridge. All right? But I get excited because I think I can eavesdrop and see and get glimpses of what God is speaking to him. So I know God's heart for the schools because I hear what He's saying to Isaac, or maybe I hear what He's saying about Isaac. Y'all following me on this? This is huge. We got a glimpse of this last Sunday. Last Sunday in here was so powerful. If you missed it, I'm really sorry. It was the FCA came, and it was one of those where I just walked away, felt like I'd been just sitting back and seeing what God was doing in other people's lives, eavesdropping on the breath of heaven in other people's lives. I felt like I heard what God was saying about revival in Harrison County School and His ultimate desire for revival in Bremen School. And He didn't speak a word of that to me. I heard what He was saying to others and about others. When the little girl got up and she began to talk, the Boykin girl began to talk about how revival is happening in her life and how God is stirring in her life. And how she was just indifferent and everything else until the crusade. I wish your mama could have been here, Casey, last Sunday. Because a lot of that stuff got originated with the push of the crusade. All right? The crusade helped facilitate a lot of that stuff. And I sit here and we got a glimpse of that and we heard what heaven was saying about another group of people that most of these kids do not go to this church. But we heard what heaven was saying. And so, you know what that did? That stirred him. Jeremy Crane came over to me in the middle of the service, and he said, every decision that we need to, that we make as a church should be mindful of what God's doing in this right now. Every decision should be predicated on what he's saying we need to take, and we need to focus energy, we need to focus resources, we need to focus finances, we need to focus prayers on this move that we see God doing. And it wasn't because God came in and gave Jeremy a vision and said, hey, man, there's going to be a revival at Harrelson County High School, and this is what it's going to look like, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I want you to do this, this, and this. It's because he heard what heaven was saying. Because he heard testimony of kids in their lives. He saw the visual. The visual. Amen. This is huge to me. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all know what God's saying about America right now? I don't. God has not spoken a word to me, but I promise you God's saying something about America right now. How many of you put the abortion issue on the back burner in your life? I have. Brett, I have. I still get emails from PRC. We still support PRC. We still do things with them. But from my life, I put it on the back burners. I bet it's not on the back burners of heaven. I bet there's still talk in heaven. I bet there's still a sound in heaven. I bet there's still dialogue in heaven. Right? Y'all see what I'm saying on this? Just because we feel, how many of y'all have made the statement, I feel like heaven's just shut up to me. I feel like it's like just like brass. We've made that statement. God's not hearing my prayers and all of this stuff. Quit being so narcissistic and say, man, you know, God's got to speak something to, I just want to hear what he's saying. And if that means I come in and I eavesdrop on what God wants to say and do in the buddy household, then you know what that does? That gives me a glimpse of his heart and his will and his mind toward a family, and that stirs me. That moves me. That should move you to look and see what he's doing in Hell's Gate. And Nick, it should move you to see what he's doing over here in Carrollton. That they're going from 10 to 100 kids in FCA. And Lisa says, hey, let's have, just as significant, we get excited because Isaac wants to have a Bible study in Bremen, and I'm pumped about that, and 10 kids show up, and I'm pumped about those 10 kids. I hope it just continues to spread and stir, and Noah, you guys just start, man, it just transformed people's lives. But she started a Bible study for teachers at Carrollton, had 25 teachers show up last week. 25 teachers show up in Carrollton City Schools. Can you imagine what kind of revival can take place when you have 25 teachers that are burning passionate, on fire, on school property? I'm not talking about closet on school property. I'm talking about burning on school property. Burning on school property. So our thing is get in the proximity and hear what heaven's saying. What is heaven saying about this? What is heaven saying about this person's life? What is heaven saying? See, your key as a parent, and Brett's key as a parent, is to hear what heaven is saying about your... You see it. Your kids are sitting there, and they have all of these. Your thoughts are usually loftier for your children than their thoughts about themselves right now. They usually are. My dreams for you are typically bigger than the dreams that you dream for yourself as a parent. Wouldn't everybody be safe to say that? That's a safe assumption for us to make. That my dreams for my children are bigger than their dreams. Because I can sit back and I see in them stuff they don't see in themselves. Well, I want to take it a step further. What about when? And you know what? She needs to hear my dreams for her. She needs to talk to some people that I talk to, that I hang out with. She needs to talk to Cindy Morris and see what I say about her. Zyler, it'd blow your mind if you hear what all your... Yaya says about you. I don't think I've ever heard her say anything. I know you're not a perfect kid. You're probably real close, but I know you're not perfect. I've never heard your Yaya say anything negative about you. And I hang out with her a good bit. We go on trips together. You know what I hear her saying about you? Dreams. And vision, and positive, and good, and life, and promise, and all of that stuff. That's what I hear her saying about you. That's what I hear her saying about you. And it was awesome if we can eavesdrop on heaven and see what heaven is saying about us. See what heaven is saying. Maybe not about me, but see what heaven's saying about my family. See what heaven is saying about my children. Because in my natural, my heart's desire is complete because my kids are living next to me and I see my grandkids every day and all that stuff. But what if heaven wants them to be in Dubai? That's where my nephew is right now. What if heaven wants them to be in the Philippines? That's where Jeff is right now. What if heaven wants them to be in Charlotte, North Carolina? Come on. And I don't know that, and I buck and kick against that unless I'm overhearing what heaven is saying about them. So it is absolutely, I'm not going to say beneficial, I'm going to say imperative for us to rightly flow with Him. It is imperative for us to go into a place of proximity so we can hear what He's saying. Quit coming in and just trying to get a word for yourself. Go in and see what He's saying about your husband. That changed the way you view your husband. Go in and see what He's saying about your wife. Go in and see what He's saying about the cancer that was in Cynthia's body. Y'all had great peace in that, and y'all had great faith in that. And I love watching y'all walk through that. I absolutely love watching you guys walk through that. And I just pray continued health and blessings and glory, and that it would not go into to Jennifer or the grandchildren or anything else, that this we're gonna break out hereditary thing and all of that stuff. And all. But how much more of a place of a peace could we walk in if we eavesdrop and we were in a proximity to heaven where we, Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. Therefore, I hear what heaven says. Therefore, I hear what heaven says. And I'm not talking about just in the Word, in the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and all that stuff. I hear what heaven's saying right now. I hear what heaven's saying right now. Y'all follow me on? Y'all receiving this Word? It's a different dynamic for us. Because, Adam, we tend to come in and we say, man, God, speak to me, speak to me. As a preacher, I'm like, God, speak to me. What do you want me to preach? What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do for the people and all that stuff? Instead of just coming into proximity and listening to the conversation that's taking place. Lori and I got an invitation to a fairly intimate dinner coming up in a few weeks, and I'm really, really, really pumped about it because of who I feel like will probably be there. And I have no agenda going into this thing where I want anybody to hear my voice or even engage in deep conversations with anybody. But I'm pretty sure that Dutch Sheets is probably going to be there, and Rick Pino's probably going to be there, and hopefully Lou Engel's going to be there. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sit, and I'm going to soak up what's being said. I don't care if they walk away knowing who I am. I've met them before, but they forgot about me. I'm not trying to make a splash and give anybody a card and say I'm important. I just want to sit there and listen to what is being said. I will have the biggest ears on the planet that night. We used to make fun of Aaliyah because you know what I found out, Madeline, you're the same way. She's just like you, Aaliyah. If there was ever adult conversation going on in a room, you know who was there? Big-eared Aaliyah. Now, I'm not talking about physically big-eared, but big-eared Aaliyah. She wanted to. Granny, am I speaking? I am speaking truth, aren't I, Mom? Okay, Granny, I'm a mom. I'm speaking truth. She wanted to hear and know what was. We would have to shoo her. Go on, Aaliyah. We're having some adult conversation. I know you firstborn and you want to know what's going on. Let's get nosy in the kingdom. Let's get nosy in the kingdom. I want to hear what He's saying. I want to hear what He's saying. I want to hear what His will is. I know you've already got designs for Him and what you're thinking, man, He's going to go to Auburn and He's going to get a great education and He's going to be this and He's going to be that, and you start dreaming all of these things and everything. But the in order for Him to be ultimately successful, He needs to be what God designed and intended Him to be. Even if that means He goes to Tuscaloosa and finds His bride there. I'm serious. You see what I'm saying? That was a stretch. Y'all know this. Will's a big Auburn guy. Y'all know Tuscaloosa, the Tide stuff. But you hear what I'm saying in that? If it goes against our natural, but if it's what heaven is saying, then that's how our child is going to be blessed. And when we dedicate our child to the Lord, that's what we're saying. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. God, your design for her life. Whatever that looks like. And when I hear his conversations about her, then it's not a stretch for me. Then it's not a stretch for me to help. You have studied and you have researched and you have talked to people on a myriad of levels about what whether you should homeschool or whether you should put your kids in public school. And I know Sidney Hanna's testing the waters this year. You know, find out if y'all going to get kicked out or not. But she's the test child on this. But you know what ultimately the decision should come down to? What is heaven saying about this? Because I see the value of both. I see the value of an insulation and protection and all of the things that can, the nurturing and all of the things that can come from this. But I also see the value of, hey, God stirred on my heart. Let's start a Bible study in public school before school starts. Or let me be a leader in FCA. Huh? But ultimately, you know what it comes down to? What's heaven saying about it? Not necessarily what is heaven speaking to me. Specific, what is heaven saying about it? What is heaven saying about it? What is heaven saying about it? So I want everybody to take that word. That was a word for the church. Okay? That was a word for the church. All right. How do you think Eden is? We'll do the best we can. All right. Go ahead. And somebody grab Brett. Leroy, will you grab Brett and Eden? Bring them on in. Get Brett to listen to that word. I don't know how he is on podcast and all that stuff, but get him to listen to that podcast on that. That word's important. And maybe I'll just share it with him personally. That'd be even better, wouldn't it? Let me back up. Three things that I see in here. And I, you know what? I'm not even going to turn to Scripture this morning. It's look it up for yourself because I'll get bogged up teaching. And these things are spread across chapters. We'll probably come in Wednesday night, maybe do some expository on some of this. The first one that I want to talk about as we talk about a baby dedication is Samuel and the story of Samuel and Hannah. And Hannah came in and Hannah vowed a vow to God and said, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you. If you give me a son, I'll give him to you. Because she was barren. She was desperate for something. And she said, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you. And you know what the vow she made was? She said, I'm going to raise him as a Nazarite. You know what a Nazarite was? A Nazarite was one that was separated to God. I can take a Nazarite vow right now. That Old Testament Nazarite vow, you know what it was? I'm going to separate myself to God. I'm not going to cut my hair. That's a symbol to everybody. See, in this culture, Brett would be in a Nazarite vow right now because his hair is longer. Me and Nick, we would just kind of be struggling on some of that. They were not supposed to touch any dead thing. That was representative that they were supposed to stay clean. And they were not supposed to drink any wine or partake of anything. You couldn't even eat table grapes. It wasn't just because that was the earthly pleasures. And you were separating yourself unto God away from that. It was just a vow. God, and I'm not saying that God wants us to stick on that. But that's what she said. And you know what she did? When she finished that, she came in. And after Samuel was born, she raised him until the weaning age. Then she brought him. She gave him to the Lord. She gave him to the Lord. I look, and we talked about Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist. The biggest thing that I say in Elizabeth and Zechariah with John the Baptist, these things are never smooth, and that's okay. It's dealing with kids. God told Elizabeth and John that his name was going to be, Elizabeth and Zechariah, his name was going to be John. God told him his name was going to be John. You know what culture said? They even tried to name him because the angel struck Zechariah where he could not speak because of his unbelief. And when they carried John the Baptist into the temple to be circumcised on the eighth day, you know what culture and everybody, all the relatives that came for the baby dedication and all that was their baby dedication. You know what they said? Name him Zechariah. They said they called him Zechariah. You know what? Elizabeth stepped up and said, no, his name shall be called John. And they said, why you name him John? Y'all don't have any kinfolks named John. She said, because that's what heaven said. They looked to Zechariah, and Zechariah was like, he got a tablet and wrote on a tablet, said, his name shall be called John. And when he wrote that, then all of a sudden he could start speaking. God gave him his voice back, and he could start speaking. Here's one thing in dedicating this child. Society's going to tell you what you need to do, and society's going to tell you what you need to call her, what you need to say. Society will say, this is in order for your child to be successful, this is what you got to do. I'm telling you, take heaven's path. If you really want to dedicate your child to the Lord, take heaven's path. Take heaven's path. Everybody in here that's got kids, James, take heaven's path. We'll take heaven's path. Not what society says, this is these are the things that worked out for this, this, and this. But what does heaven say? What is heaven saying about your children? What's heaven saying about your kids? People are clamoring to get in Bremen school system because of the perception that it's a better school system. Whether it is or not, I don't know. My kid's got a decent education there. I got a pretty good education at Harrelson County. You know, I learned to read, write, and add, and I've done okay for myself. 1980 graduate. You know, we're not going to seem born in the backwoods, but y'all. But take heaven's path on those kids. Take heaven's path. And that's what Zechariah and Elizabeth did. That's what you guys, for Eden, take heaven's path with her. Take heaven's path for these. That's our prayer for you. But man, that's heaven. That's what heaven wants to, that's what he wants you to hear. And that's the thing, hear that. Hear that. Because God's got plans, and God's got ideas, and God's got a path that's less traveled for them. God's got a path that's less traveled for him. He said, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. You know who's going to find it? The ones that hear what heaven says. The ones that hear what heaven says. The ones that hear what heaven says. I got messed up over you, Madeline, this morning, just up leading worship this morning. God didn't say anything specific. I don't have a prophetic word to give you or anything like that. I just got messed up this morning because I know heaven has got grand ideas over you and about you. And I can hear what heaven is just saying and releasing and all of that. And then I look at Jesus. I'll be real quick on this. I look at Jesus. He was the third baby dedication I see in the Bible. I've never thought of Jesus as being a baby dedication. Have y'all? Anybody in here? I've never thought of that. And the Father told me, he said, that was a baby dedication right there. Because you know what Father God did? God gave his only son. You know what it says in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, I think it is? It says, unto us a son is given. He came in and Jesus was born as a baby and he gave him away. He gave him to humanity. He still had deity, but he gave him to humanity. And he said, I give this to you. That's what a dedication is. He didn't say, I'm going to visit y'all. He'd been visiting them for thousands of years. He didn't say, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do him right and all of that stuff, and Mary, this is what you do. He said, this is my son. Unto us a son is given. He gave that child. He gave that child, and he said, not my will, but thy will. That's what Jesus said, but that's what Father God said too. He said, I'm releasing this. I'm releasing this to a different path. And we all know the result of that. We all know the result of all three. What was Samuel? He was the priest unto the nation of Israel. Heck, until Saul and David became king, he was the leader of a nation. He was the leader of God's chosen people, and he was always the prophetic voice. That's what happens when you really dedicate something. You know what happened with John the Baptist? He ultimately got his head cut off by Herod. But you know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? He said, no greater man has ever been born than John the Baptist. That's pretty jam up, right? If the Lord could say that over her, no greater woman has ever been born, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that. And when God gave Jesus, you know what he became? Savior of the world. He wasn't the Savior of the world until God dedicated him and released him. And he followed that path and he ultimately shed his blood and he became Savior of the world. Thank God he did, or we'd all be hopeless. So that's the three I see. Those are huge. But every one of them, Melinda, it wasn't, hey, God, we're going to do the best we can. We want your blessing upon this. That's what really what we're saying. We've got a baby dedication backwards. We think with a baby dedication, we're saying, God, we really want you to bless our child. We should say this is a baby blessing. And only you can make the decision. Do you want this to be a blessing or a dedication? Do you want it to be a blessing or a dedication? That's the thing. Because if it is dedication, it's going to be a different path. And it'll be a path that'll be determined by how well you hear what heaven's saying. And it's not always going to be what he speaks directly to you, but what is heaven saying? What is heaven saying about her and this family life? Amen. Let's come on. All right. You guys, y'all stand up. Come on, kiddos. Church body, y'all go ahead and stand, if you will. Brad, I'm going to ask you just to anoint her with the anointing that comes from the Father. I can anoint her with some generational blessings here. Yes. Oh, yeah. She's probably more interested in the microphone than she is me, but yeah, it's kind of like a remote. I know my thoughts toward her, and I know my dreams toward her, and my desires toward her, and my hand of protection toward her. But I promise you, Father God in heavens is much higher and grander than mine. It's higher and grander than mine. It's higher and grander than yours. As a grandfather to these children, I'm going to purpose myself. Lord, I want to challenge us to purpose ourselves to hear what heaven is saying concerning about them. Body, you know what your challenge and your mandate is? Family, some of y'all family members that came for this. Bill, you know what our mandate is? It's for us to hear what heaven is saying about her, about them, about Will and Katie's children. What is heaven saying about them? And so as we do that, then it puts us in a position of facilitating. Then it puts us in a position of releasing. Then it puts us in a position of releasing blessings. I want us just to, Lord, will you come here as, this is not as a grandmother role, this is as a pastor of the house, mother of the house role. She's coming, Aiden Bug. Here, I got mine.
For those of you that don't know, Leah and Brett name all their kids for various reasons. Zealand, of course, they were in New Zealand and lived there for a little bit. And Sydney Hannah was after Sydney. And Eden, when they got married on the beach, but they had the reception at Eden State Park. But deeper, they all have different meanings than that. Eden literally means delight. Delight. She is our delight. She is our Father's delight. And I was looking up words last night on what delight means and what we're going to pray for her. And what I pray for you and all of us in our lives is that there's so many delights in the Word. But one is take pleasure in the Father is a delight. Delight in the law of the Lord, and that's what we're doing today. We're praying she takes delight in the law of the Lord. To delight yourself in the Lord and to do His will is a delight. It's not hard. It's not a burden. And the one I love the most is delight in approaching Father God. These are in Proverbs and Psalms. I was daily His delight. We forget that we are His delight. He created us. He delights in us. And if you don't feel that this morning as we're doing this dedication, I pray that your heart would open up and you would feel that God delights in me. He loves me. And He loves, and that's what we're praying, and they are dedicating over her today, is she's going to be a delight to Father. And she's going to be a delight. She wears a name. name well, doesn't she? Family, doesn't she? But that was my, that was what I had this morning, was just delight. Just because that's her name, that can be our name also. That is what he's talking to us. Delight in coming to me. Don't be afraid to come to Father. Don't be afraid to walk in his ways. And then that you will have delight in your heart. Amen.
Family, if you're family, come on up. Yeah, y'all come on up. Errol, come on up. You guys come on up. Mom, come on. Will, all you guys, Bill, Amanda, y'all come on up. Amen. All right, church family, I'm going to put a charge on them, but this is going to extend to you guys as well. Okay? All of you guys, our responsibility is to create an atmosphere that is conducive. And we do it in the natural. We're good at that. You'd kill somebody if they messed with your nieces and nephews. And they would do the same over your children. Okay? I'll go ahead and say plural. Over your children and all this. They would do the same. But our greater responsibility is to create a atmosphere where the presence of God is something that they grow up and it's not foreign to them. They feel His peace. They feel His hope. They feel His love. And they're not afraid to hear His word. So my prayer is for all of you guys, not only create and facilitate that atmosphere, but as God, as you hear what heaven is saying about her, sometimes it'll be a thing you'll keep in private, but sometimes it'll be a thing that you speak into her life. Because like I told Zyler a while ago, it is awesome. It would be awesome if he could hear some of the things that his Yahya says about him. And as God speaks to me, or I overhear what heaven is saying about her, or her, or him, or there, then that, him too, right? Yes. Okay. I thought so. All right. As I hear what heaven is saying about all of them, then we're going to come in and we're going to declare that into their life. Body, that's for you guys as well. Y'all know what testimony is, not just what God has done, but testimony is a word of encouragement. This is what I can see God saying over you. It should make you feel good when I get messed up over your kids all the time. Because that's heaven releasing and saying something over them. And I'm just eavesdropping on that feeling, eavesdropping on the presence and all of that stuff. So that should be encouragement to us. So you guys, y'all release that into them. Amen? All right, can we flow in this? Y'all just extend your hands over Eden. Brett, you want to come on in and just lay your hand on her? You're the head of the household. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Y'all just, y'all come on in. Everybody come on in. Let's just lay hands on them. Church, just extend your hands. Father, we come to you right now and we lift up Eden. And Lord, we thank you for her. She's a gift from you. But Lord, we realize that she is yours. And today we don't come in and do a baby blessing. Today we come in and we do a baby dedication. We declare that this child is yours. Her future is yours. Lord, her spouse is yours. Her seed is yours. Lord, every Lord thing that is wrapped up inside of her womb, Lord, that we just declare today that the generations would continue. And God, that she is yours, a child in the Lord, that she would be the Levite to you, Father. And Lord, we just, in doing so, Lord, let us hear what you're saying about her path and her future and her direction and her destiny and her purpose, Father, so that we can help facilitate that. Our desire is to help facilitate that, Father. Our desire is to help protect that and guard that and nurture that and feed that, Father. And I pray that we would do that as a family body and as a church body, Father. Let this place and let our lives be an atmosphere that she knows nothing but your presence and that she has a place of rest and a place of trust in that. God, of course, we come in and we pray physical protection over her. We pray physical blessing over her. We pray that you would just come in and your hand would just be upon her and that she would find favor in just every area. And, Lord, just pour that out upon her. Lord, I pray for Brett and Aaliyah as they raise these children, God, as they are stewards of these children and that they would just have the ultimate grasp, God, that they are your kids and they're just stewards of them. But, God, I pray that they would just hear your voice in that. Let them live in a place of proximity where they can hear what you're saying concerning this. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for children. We thank you for the gift that they are. Just continue to bring life into our lives and life into this house. And we love you and we lift you up. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. All right, guys. Y'all good? Has it been a good day in the house? Good day in the house? Y'all take that word now that God gave me to release into y'all. Y'all take that word. Start eavesdropping. Start eavesdropping. Start going in and say, man, I just want to go in proximity. I have no agenda. Usually we've got an agenda when we go to heaven. And we'll take the scripture, boldly approach the throne of grace, and we'll say, man, I'm boldly approaching and I'm making my petitions known and all this da-da-da-da-da. You know, sometimes I just want to hang out. I want to be Joshua. And I pray a spirit of Joshua would get on us so we know what heaven is saying about her and about her and about him. And that is more important than God speak to me. I just want to know what he's saying. I want to know what he's saying. I want to know what he's saying about our country. I want to know what he's saying about the issues. I want to know what he's saying about the race issues. I don't know what he's saying about that. I want to know what he's saying about this, because then we have a proper response. Amen. Y'all have a blessed day today. Y'all let your Sabbath day. We're not going to do altar call and all of that stuff. Y'all take this and y'all go with this word. Y'all go with the dedication and the blessing of this baby and let it just flow out of y'all's lives into everything that you touch. Be the river of life. And then we'll see you guys Wednesday night. Y'all have an amazing day. Love y'all.